Okay, now, as I said, we're down here in Beaumont Hospital for On Your Hero Day, and I'm talking to Paddy, who's the director of the Beaumont Foundation. Great to talk to you, Paddy. I think
and
I have met
Thank you.
Thank you
for
once.
Coming down, yeah. Much appreciated.
Once or twice before, but tell us a little bit about how the Beaumont Foundation started up.
Well, I don't actually know the history in terms of the original history, but it's in situ, I would guess, about 20 years. Set up by people who wanted to do something to raise funds to improve the quality of patient care. People who, in some cases, are still with us. And I suppose that's the origin of it. It was just people, well-intended, who wanted to do something to raise funds to help improve patient care.
Yeah, and I suppose until you're in the hospital environment and you see the work that's been done and you see, you know, what is happening, you don't really realise the work that goes into putting something like this together. And I suppose people want to help their loved ones if they have come out of, as we heard today, a serious illness, or if they've passed away, they want to give something back to the hospital.
Yeah, and it's amazing what people can do, ordinary people, just the small sums of money that make a difference. I mean, by and large, the funds that are raised through the foundation are used to support relatively small requests from staff who are looking for additional pieces of equipment, little initiatives to help improve patient care, like family rooms or something of that nature. And these would be little things that are beyond the normal hospital budget, so they simply wouldn't happen if it wasn't for the funds that people raise or the donations that people make. So whilst it may seem small, it's the accumulation of small donations that help to make something happen that would not otherwise happen. So in that sense, it's very material what people do to support us.
Now, I know we are in contact a lot with yourselves here down in the Beaumont Foundation. What do you have gone out throughout the year that would kind of raise money? I know Christmas time you do the silver bells, but is there anything else that is an ongoing thing every year?
Well, just speaking of Christmas, I mean, aside from silver bells, there's a great campaign called Nativity, which encourages people to knit little Christmas characters that we then use for fundraising purposes. Then, other than at Christmas time, we have a series of events that people might be interested in, such as golf for those who golf, cycling for those who cycle, walking, such as Camino trips for those who want to walk. But for the most part, people actually run their own events and then remit the proceeds to us. So people have little things like coffee mornings or little events that they run themselves in their own workplaces or in their own neighbourhoods. So for the most part, people do their fundraising through their own events rather than through ours. But certainly for anyone who's interested, there's our website or telephone, and anybody is free to have a look at what we do and what we offer. And if there's something there that we're doing that's of interest to them, we'd love to hear from them.
Right, and as you said, it's people doing their own thing as well. I think a few years ago we did like a carol sing. We weren't the best singers, but we raised some money. And it's just little things like that, as you said, makes a difference.
For the most part, it's what people do themselves that's tailored to their circumstances. So if they have a big work environment, they might do a coffee morning. If they're athletically inclined, they might do something that requires physical effort. It can be as simple as a head shave or a beard grow or a beard shave or whatever little silly things we all do that raise a few bob and we're all inclined to support.
Okay. Have you anything coming up now in the next couple of weeks or months?
Well, we have our Christmas, we're now looking at Christmas time, so I suppose that would be the major challenge for us. So we have our Christmas raffle. People can buy raffle tickets and win prizes worth up to £10,000. We have our Silver Bells campaign and Christmas cards, and we have our Nativity campaign. So I guess between now and Christmas, our main priorities are around Christmas.
Yeah. Okay, Paddy, listen, thanks a million for talking to us today, and keep up the good work.
Thank you very much. Much appreciated.
And now I'm going to talk to Chloe Green, and she's going to tell us her story. She's here at On Your Hero Day, and welcome, Chloe.
Thanks very much. I arrived actually just over a year ago. It's the 16th of August 2017. I was brought up by police escort ambulance from my hometown in Mullingar, and I had a stroke, so at 22, so which was shocking, but like at the same time I was treated so well, and they got they gave me two surgeries, and after that I was put into an induced coma for 2 weeks, and yeah, it was just, they've been phenomenal ever since. So
now you said you're 22, Chloe, and you had a stroke, which is very, very young. Have they found out why or how it happened?
I don't think so, really. Everyone's a bit stumped by it. I have ulcerative colitis, so an underlying health condition that can cause strokes, but usually not in people my age. But I've just been lucky with how everyone's been so great here in the hospital in Beaumont and treated me. And even after that, they found out that I had an infection in my spine, so they were able to help me through that as well, and still are helping me. So,
and have you been in Beaumont for a year?
Yeah, it was a year last week, so I'm still here now. But hopefully on the way home soon.
And is this due to the stroke or the infection that you picked up after the stroke?
The infection that I picked up after the stroke, the stroke I've recovered from really well. Like, to be honest, I had I lost a lot of my strength in my left side after the stroke, but after the last spinal surgery, they were able to remove most of the mass of the infection that was there. So after that, I got strength back in my left side. So it must have just been caused by the abscess that was in my spine, pressing against my spinal cord.
So you're here a year. Like, a year is a long time for a girl. Yeah. I mean, for anyone to be in a hospital for 22. I mean, where are you now today? Are you still in hospital? Or are you going to be discharged? You're looking really, really well.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm still a patient. But I'm very lucky with all my friends and family that come into me a lot. And do you know, like, I know that I'm near the end. So do you know, I don't mind as much. It's kind of when you don't know what's happening, you don't know where you're going. That's kind of when it gets tough.
It must have been a really kind of frightening experience for you to wake up one morning and not being able to move. Did you realise what was happening?
I actually don't remember myself the stroke and the first 2 months of being in Beaumont, but after all of that, being in Beaumont and, you know, learning what had happened was the shocking part. It was kind of, it was scary to hear that. It didn't seem real to me. Like, it just sounded like a story or something they'd watch on telly or something. Just, but they are really incredible in here. I can't talk about them well enough. Like, there's just no words that can describe them.
Well, that's what we're hearing today from everybody. Like, the help is just phenomenal. And who are you going to honour today?
I'm honouring the infectious diseases consultants, so Professor McConkey, Dr. Zabara and Dr. Cora McNally.
Listen, thanks a million, Chloe. You look great and good luck for the future.
Thanks very much.
And now I'm in Beaumont Hospital talking to Emma Cassidy. We're in Honour Your Hero Days and Emma's going to tell us a little about your story.
So my name's Emma Cassidy, I'm 31 years old and I'm a secondary school teacher from Raheny, and at the end of June last year I was diagnosed with triple negative breast cancer. Didn't really have many symptoms, didn't have an obvious lump or anything like that, kind of just felt very tired and went to my GP, and kind of from there it escalated and he started to rule things out, and on the 27th of June I was diagnosed with the cancer, and then within 2 weeks I had had a double mastectomy, and 6 weeks later I started chemotherapy.
And how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I finished my chemotherapy on the 21st of December and my radiotherapy in February, and then I had my reconstruction done 5 weeks ago, so on the mend now.
And I'm supposed to be told something like that is an awful shock to your system. And to go through all this, like, one day you're living a normal life and then you're hit with this shocking kind of diagnosis. How did you cope with that?
It was a massive shock, to be honest, because I was in, like, physically I was in good shape. I was, you know, exercising a lot, eating well. I said I'd only turned 30 a couple of months. And even when I went in and I was getting a lot of tests done, I still never imagined that this kind of would be the outcome. So I suppose initially, like, obviously I was very upset. My mum was very upset. But then we just kind of took in what the doctors were telling us, and we had the plan in place, and we kind of knew that from everything they were telling us that it was going to be okay, and just kind of focused on each treatment as it came, really. Just tried to keep positive and get out walking every day and still try to keep some sense of normality.
Yeah, and I know coming into Bone, I think this is our fourth year here doing this on your Heroes Day, and the way patients come across and the help they get from the nurses and the doctors, and I mean, they go out of their way, they're so nice. I know we all see the other side for the accident emergency and how long we're waiting, but once in the hospital, the treatment you get just seems to be absolutely 100%. And there's this particular person you're going to honour today.
Yeah, so the treatment I encountered, like, literally, I could have probably nominated 100 people. Everyone who I encountered was so amazing and helped me so much. The lady who I'm nominating is called Louise Costigan, and she is my breast care nurse. She's actually probably the first person I encountered as I was being diagnosed. She was in the room with me with the consultant, and I just found it to be such a calming kind of presence, really kind of put our minds at ease, and, you know, didn't try to overwhelm us with information, but she was always there for us at the end of the phone. Mm-hmm. Every time you came in, she always had a big smile, kind of knew that you were in safe hands with her. Yeah. And it meant a lot.
Emma, thanks a million for telling us your story today, and good luck in the future, okay? Thank you.